Violent attacks against police in Dallas, Baton Rouge, and other cities have people worried about security and public safety. Last week, Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed considered the idea of a curfew after there were a wave of protests in the city. There are no definitive plans for a curfew at this time, but we wondered if curfews are effective and should Atlanta consider one for protests or other cities. Savannah has struggled with crime as well. Here to answer some of these questions is Mike Mayles. He's a senior researcher for the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice, and he joins us via Skype. Hi there, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Can we first talk about curfews and why they are instituted? Is it always in any city when they do curfews, is it always because of a fear of violence?
Well, there are two kinds of curfews being talked about here. One is a general curfew for the whole public in which everyone is banned from the streets, such as they did in Los Angeles after the 1992 civil disturbances there. And these are temporarily effective as long as they're very short-lived, they're very even-handedly enforced, and police and law enforcement handle it in a flexible manner, but they have to be very, very short-lived. You can't impose a general curfew for
What do you mean by short-lived? Like a few days?
At most a few days. I really think that we really haven't tested these in the United States. Fortunately, we have not tested these as a general proposition for months and months, like some areas have done. But for a few days, yes, they seem to be effective. But you can imagine the public reaction if they were kept indoors for any lengthy period of time.
And the second type of curfew?
The second type of curfew is a curfew that's imposed only on youths. The United States is the only kind of country that does this kind of curfew. They are fairly widespread. They don't work at all. There's a mountain of research now on curfews that show that they simply do not work. In fact, they sometimes make the situation worse. So selectively imposed curfews just on certain populations are a very bad idea, and they're usually promoted by politicians that don't have any better ideas.
So when you say that they don't work, what does that mean?
Well, curfews imposed on youth or on the general public are designed to prevent crime by and further disturbance by preventing people from being in public. And the police can quickly identify people in public and remove them from public, and that's supposed to, in theory anyway, prevent crime. As I said, reduce the violence that is occurring during, say, a riot or a civil disturbance. Like I said, curfews that are imposed generally on everybody tend to work for a very short period of time, but curfews imposed selectively on youth do not work because their function then becomes to remove law-abiding youth from public, to waste police time in enforcing the curfew, and to create antagonistic relationships between the police and young people. And the result has not been to reduce crime, either by youths or in general, or to improve public safety, either involving young people or in general.
When we measure their effectiveness, do we also measure whether or not young people abide by the curfews?
There have been efforts to determine that. The Los Angeles Police Department, for example, intensively enforced the curfew in a few districts of the city back in the 1990s, and they found that even very intensive enforcement, using a lot of community volunteers as well as law enforcement, did not produce any reduction in crime or improvement in youth safety. As for other curfews in other cities, they've been applied with varying intensities. But they also have not worked, and they tend to suffer a loss of police enthusiasm for even enforcing them over time. So no, compliance with curfews is not very easy to enforce when they're applied selectively to young people.
We'd love to hear from you, our listeners, and whether or not you welcome a curfew in your neighborhood. Does a curfew make you feel safer? You can tweet us at OSD Talk or join the conversation on Facebook. My guest is Mike Mayles. He's a senior researcher for the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice. We're talking about the effectiveness of curfews. So, Mike, when you start with this premise, I guess the idea, and I'm assuming here, the idea of a curfew is that removing law-abiding people from the streets means that those who are left are not law-abiding, and therefore the police can really pick out people who might be troublemakers. Why doesn't that work?
Well, again, if you're applying a general curfew to the whole population, it works temporarily because then the police simply assume that everybody that's remaining on the streets is some kind of threat to law and order. And again, you don't see these curfews imposed unless there's a massive civil disturbance like the Los Angeles riots of the early 1990s. But again, if you impose a curfew selectively, then it becomes very hard for police to tell who is over 18, who is under 18, or whatever age has been established for the curfew. And they have to stop a lot of people. They have to enforce it very selectively, generally with a great deal of racial disparity in enforcement, in that African Americans and Hispanics are much more likely to be curfewed. And so it really doesn't work. But also they intend to enforce them over a longer period of time, which means that compliance goes down very rapidly and police have much more difficulty.
So, you know, for example, many people have pointed to the curfews in Baltimore as an example of curfews that do not work. And in fact, in some cases, crime increased in Baltimore after curfews were imposed. Why?
Well, again, this is a curfew imposed only selectively on youth, on young people. It's not enforced on the general population.
Now, you keep making this distinction about curfews that are imposed selectively, and I get that they're more difficult to enforce because it's difficult to know who's over 18 and who is under 18. Is that the only reason why a selective curfew would be different than a general one?
Well, other than just being very discriminatory, that would be the main difference. Yes, a selective curfew just targets a certain population.
Okay, so when we look at Baltimore, how do you make that connection, or do we make the connection between that, a selective curfew, and crime going up, or is there something else going on?
Well, over 90% of the violence, this is according to FBI clearance reports, in cities over 90% of the violence is committed by adults, 95% of the homicides. Generally, it's a spectacular homicide, a tragedy that provokes the enforcement of a curfew. Over 95% of these are committed by adults. So again, targeting a selective population is not only very troublesome, but it doesn't really get it at the populations that are causing the most problems in the first place. So the Baltimore curfew has not worked, and they've seen increased homicide there after the curfew, precisely because it only targets young people. And I'm not sure a general curfew would work either, as I pointed out before, but the curfew targeting young people definitely doesn't work.
You mean you're not sure a general curfew would work in Baltimore or any city that has experienced serious violence, such as Dallas?
Well, it would work temporarily. I mean, it did work in Los Angeles for a few days, but the law enforcement there was, and the city leaders there were intelligent enough to know that it really wouldn't work past a few days, that really you're going to get a great deal of public backlash against a curfew that's imposed for a large amount of time on themselves, on adults as well as youth.
So, I mean, I realize you're a senior researcher in all these statistics and data, so I don't want to take you too far outside of your comfort zone, but have you gotten any kind of understanding at why people feel that curfews are safer? Why do we keep returning to this tactic?
Well, youth curfews are politically popular because they don't affect a population whose rights are thought worth respecting in any way. Oftentimes, law enforcement and the news media and institutions and political leaders have blamed crime in their cities on youth, when actually they're much more caused by adults than by youth, because young people are an easy population to target for blame and stigma. They don't have any voting rights or lobbying abilities or that sort of thing, and so, or publicity, public relations abilities. So they're very easy to target politically, which makes it in a way even more disgraceful that law enforcement and other agencies are just targeting a population that can't fight back.
So what then effect does that have on youth, especially as we look into how to get better relationships between police and especially young people, when you impose a curfew that it sounds like young people resent and that is selectively discriminatory? What effect does that have on the youth population of a city?
Well, it definitely tends to poison relationships between law enforcement and youth. And you can imagine how this would work. Anybody who's being taken off the street for doing nothing wrong, just being told, well, you have to go home, you cannot, or we'll arrest you and take you to the station. This is what happens in a lot of cases. We studied curfews in places like Vernon, Connecticut, in detail, looking at actual curfew citations, and we found that 99% of the youth removed from public were not doing anything wrong. They were just playing basketball or going to movies or going home from jobs or school events or that sort of thing. And so there's a great deal of resentment, as there would be in anybody, and police simply coming up to you and saying, we're going to arrest you simply because you're in public, not because you're doing something wrong. So we've had, for instance, a police chief in New Haven, Connecticut, which is a city that has a great problem with crime, decided against enforcing a curfew, and they put much more resources into police relationships with the community and with younger people and had much better results.
And there's also a possibility that curfews can be used to cut down on protests, which is not supposed to be the use of a curfew.
Well, again, curfews can also have a lot of nefarious results, and that's one of them, to simply banish protests that civic leaders are finding troublesome or irritating simply because of their political content. So, yes, there's a First Amendment question there, too.
Although, I mean, we only have 30 seconds left or so, but it sounds like the bottom line is that curfews do not really work once they pass 2 or 3 days.
No, cities want to be very careful in instituting curfews. It's not something where you just have some incidents or a disturbance. You need really a widespread insurrection type of disturbance that's creating a great deal of general violence. And then, of course, you could understand a temporary curfew on the population. But other than that, they're very unwise.
Mike Males is a senior researcher for the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice. Mike, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.